Good morning. The first lesson is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. A scoundrel plots evil. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and gossip separates close friends. A violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is not good. Whoever winks with their eye is plotting perversity. Whoever purses their lips is bent on evil. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. Better a patient person than a warrior. One with self-control than one who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm reading is found in Psalm 121. Beginning with verse 1, please follow the screens and read along with me. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by night, nor the moon by night. Keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, hatred, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
We lost a page. There we go. The gospel reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
All right, so we have a children's song.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you can stay seated this time if you would like to. So this is a song that we thought tied in with the gift of the spirit of self-control, or the fruit of the spirit of self-control. All right, so this is called He's Still Working on Me. And if you know this, please sing along. It's easy to pick up on. Here we go. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. He's still working on me.
Amen. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, I like that song too. It was a lot of fun. So today we're going to talk about something really important called self-control. It is like a superpower that helps us make good choices. So I've got a balloon here. The balloon is kind of like us. When it's full of air, it's big and bouncy, right? But if I let go to one end, what will happen? The balloon flew away because I didn't hold on tight. Sometimes we feel like that balloon. We want to do something fun, but we know we have some chores to do, so we go ahead and tackle those chores. Mom says you can have a cupcake after dinner, but you really want one now. They look so good. Chocolate frosting with sprinkles, but you hold on and you wait. That's self-control. You're talking to a friend and you have a different point of view. You listen to what they have to say. That's self-control. Now, this is for the adults in the room. Someone cuts you off when you're driving. Instead of swearing, you say a prayer for them. That's self-control. Over this summer, we've talked about Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, and I think you can say it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Bible tells us that self-control is a special gift from God. It's like a strong hand that helps us hold on when things get tough. He helps us be kind to others even when they're not kind to us. He helps us be patient when things are stressful. He helps us use loving words and actions when our first impulse might be to get mad and yell. When we use self-control, we show others that we are listening to God. Let's ask God to help us grow in self-control every day. Dear God, help me have self-control today. Give me strength and wisdom to make good choices. Help me to be patient and kind to everyone. Thank you for your love and guidance. Amen.
Lord God, thank you for this word. Thank you for this season where we've been looking at they will know we are Christians and it by the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And Lord God, in Jesus' name today, give us open ears and open hearts, open eyes, open minds, to receive your word and pray that you speak through me and that I'm not in it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This is the end of the series. It's been such a great, fun series to look at how they'll know we're Christians through the fruit of the Spirit coming through us. And this is today, self-control. They'll know we're Christians by our self-control. And I want you to kind of think of that list of the fruit of the Spirit kind of bookended with love and self-control, because it starts with love, love, joy, peace. It starts with love, and all of the fruit of the Spirit are kind of born out of love. It is the love of God. That's power. And all of the fruit of the Spirit are born out of love. But the thing that keeps the fruit of the Spirit producing and thriving and growing, the way that we stay connected to God in that way, is through this biblical concept of self-control that we're going to talk about today. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. It's much, I think, bigger than we think it is. And Jolynn kind of started to kind of even scratch the surface about how tough it can be to make good decisions and so forth. Paul told us, and we heard in Galatians, that there is always a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And that conflict is the thing that mucks up our ability to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's why self-control is so important. That conflict has to be overcome. Paul writes, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. And here's the words nobody wants to hear. So that you are not to do whatever you want. How do you feel about that? Let me say this, all right? Just take a deep breath and listen. In Jesus' name, the Word of God says, you are not to do whatever you want. Okay, now, how did that make you feel? Right? What's that? It's tough, right? If I think of my 16-year-old me and my poor mother who's here today, having to deal with my 16, but that, you know, you hear those words and the instantaneous rage, how dare you tell me I can't do whatever I want, right? There's a conflict. And so if you feel angry or hot or your blood's boiling over and your instantaneous reaction to that is rebellion, that's the flesh. And it's not only the flesh, because the flesh has a master. The master is the Spirit, always the Spirit. So if we react in rebellion against the Word of God, and because we're so boiling hot over what it's telling us to do that we don't want to do, that's because there's Spirit behind the flesh that says, I don't want you to have life. I don't want you to have joy. I don't want you to have peace. I want to, but what does Jesus say about the thief that sneaks into the sheep gate? He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Right? That's why there's that this conflict has to be overcome. Jesus specifically taught that we are always ruled by the treasure we put our trust in. I prefer the book, but maybe you've seen the Lord of the Rings movies. Some of you are geeky like me, okay. And Gollum, the Ring of Power, right? One ring to rule them all. And what it does, everybody who has it is dominated, is under the dominion of this source of evil power. It looks like light, doesn't it? Looks like light, but it's total darkness. And so Jesus says this, Matthew 6, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how does that happen? How that happens is it's artificial light. It's counterfeit light. And we remember that Lucifer is the angel of light. You know, it looks good. It looks beautiful, but it's really darkness, right? So the spirit is just... So he says your whole body will be... If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And I like to leave the word mammon because it often gets translated as you can't serve God and money. And people always just make a money thing out of it. But it's not. Mammon literally means the treasure you put your trust in. What's your precious? What's the treasure you put your trust in? And trust is such an important word here. So hang on to trust, because if we're going to surrender, well, I'll get to it. All right. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too early. So what's the treasure you put your trust in? Okay? And when we do that, when we put our trust in that treasure, whatever our precious is, whatever is going to be God to us, okay, we invite that in. And the eye is the lamp of the body, the ears, the mind. It comes into the mind, the spirit comes into the mind, and it has influence, it has impact on our thoughts, our emotions. And that then comes out through our words and the things that we do. So the spirit that comes in is very important. And what do? We invite it right in. Through our eyes a lot. How many of you do Instagram? How many do things on Instagram you shouldn't do? Right? So there's Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and all these different social media things, streaming services, and we sit there and we binge watch. Well, what are we binging? Right? We listen to things. Years ago, I used to listen to a lot of AM talk radio. And I was angry all day long. So I invited that spirit in. And eventually God convicted me of that, and I just don't do it. Right? Because I don't like to be angry all day long. And God doesn't want me to be angry all day long. We invite it because it's precious to us. And it's clever how precious it becomes to us. And then it lies to us. You know? Tess and I are always getting these weird Facebook or Instagram connections that say, you know, I'm the single guy somewhere, or I'm the single one. I mean, come on, we're married. It says so right on our status, and these things come through. And then what do people do? What's the lie? I'm hoping you're in a marriage you're not happy in, or that I can disrupt it somehow. And, you know, we can have you can look at stuff you shouldn't look at. We can have an emotional affair through instant messaging, and there's no harm there. Who will know? It's harmless. Is it harmless? No. What does the thief come to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. So don't invite it in. But that's what we do. So we have power when we invite the true spirit in. What's the spirit of this? The spirit of this age has something to do with identity. There's so much heartbreaking loss, people scrambling for identity. I only saw pictures of stuff from the Olympics last night, the opening ceremonies, but it was like heartbreaking. And the reason I'm so concerned about this is because there's a lie that the devil's been perpetuating since the Garden of Eden. And the lie is, you know, here are these perfect people, Adam and Eve, breathed the breath of life into them, the breath of God right into the Ruach HaKodesh. And they have perfect freedom and one choice to make. And Satan comes and says, well, God's sort of right. Isn't that what he does? It's a half-truth always. God's sort of right, but most certainly you will not die. God just doesn't want you to be a God yourself. And that's the deal, right? That it's my identity, my empowerment, my. I have to have 6 million followers. I have to look a certain way. I have to be a certain way. No. The truth is your identity does matter, and the truth is your identity does have to change. That's the half-truth. But it doesn't have to change so that you become a little God. It has to change because you become born again. We must be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you know, wise person, teacher of the law, he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Whoa. And the kingdom, and the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is not something we go to when we die, it's now. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wherever the king rules, there is peace. There is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, generosity, self-control. There's everything that makes heaven on earth so good. We need to become more like Jesus Christ because we love him. That always, the choice always starts with, do I love him? He's our treasure. Is he my treasure? Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Once in a while? Daily. How many times have you read that and skipped by daily? Daily. And follow me. We're free to choose. In freedom, Christ set us free. He's never going to manipulate you or control you into making a decision for him, but you're free. Paul says, we're free to choose. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Where does it start? Love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. I feel like I'm at a disco. Love your neighbor. I forgot to mention, we're having computer problems, as you may have noticed. So if the words drop off or whatever, just don't even be concerned about it. We'll just roll, all right? For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. What does the thief come to do? So we need God's mighty power to fight temptation and to have this self-control. The fruit of self-control is what keeps us in step with the Spirit so we can love God, love others, and make disciples. That's the Bible in 6 words. Love God, love others, and make disciples. Self-control is what helps us to do that. And the Bible is very clear about what self-control is. And self-discipline, like Jalynn was talking about, is a part of it. It's a fruit of self-discipline is a fruit of self-control. But here's what self-control is, and it has something to do with committing ourselves to God, okay? So here in Proverbs, I always say, like I said, I think I said last week, start with verse 1 in Proverbs, everything else supports it. These aren't 49 different thoughts. It's together, you got to think about it together if you can. So, but here, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. From the Lord is the proper answer. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. That is self-control. That's self-control in action. Because we might think our plans are good, our intentions are pure, our motives are pure, and so forth. But without God, we're flawed. So without God, our intentions, our motives, whatever, it's flawed at best and evil at worst. But with God, His word is true. His plans are pure. His motives are pure. So when we commit to Him, we give self-control to Him. This is further on in the chapter here. Biblical self-control is about exercising the freedom that God's perfect love gives us by giving total control of our spirit, which rules the mind and body, over to the dominion of the Holy Spirit, so Christ rules us as Lord. And verse 32 says, this is important, better a patient person. What is patience? Patience is an attribute of God. It's long-suffering. It's slow to anger. Better a slow-to-anger person than a warrior. One with self-control than one who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And so casting lots, you see that a couple of times in the New Testament, but casting lots is a way that people made tough decisions and without, to be not subjective, to be impartial. So if we needed to split an inheritance, we would cast lots and the lots would decide. But Proverbs is saying, really, God decided. If you think something's coincidental, it's not. It's God, there's no coincidences. It's serendipity. So, in the Old Testament, for the word self-control, I won't do the whole language thing today. We were getting short on time. We're going to go over, sorry. But self-control, in a nutshell, let me tell you what it means. The control part of that word in Hebrew means dominion. But the word self, why we translated this, I don't know, but it actually is ruach, which means spirit. So it's dominion over the spirit. So self-control is much more than self-discipline. Self-control is giving control of the self over to the Holy Spirit so that the will of God rules us. And He's always ruling us with love. Always. Paul used that word in Galatians 5. The Greek version of it, in Corinthia, it means dominion over the spirit. And Peter also used it. I want to just show you really quickly what Peter says. Very similar to the fruit of the Spirit. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. Well, you can't have goodness and knowledge without giving control of the self to God. Otherwise, it's not, it's a mess. So, and to self-control, perseverance. What do? Deny ourselves, take up our cross daily. Perseverance. Submit to Him every day. And to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, that's the effect, right? Godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. So love pours out of us when we give dominion of the Spirit over to God. And we bear the fruit of the Spirit. This is what I like here. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Sounds like a board meeting. In effect, but in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to be the opposite. We want to be effective and productive. If we want to be effective and productive disciples of Jesus Christ, we must surrender our spirit to the Holy Spirit in order for our mind and our body to be empowered by God. And this is what Jesus did. This is exactly what Jesus did when He was baptized. I want you to see this. Did Jesus have to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin? No, He was without sin. So John says, I shouldn't baptize you, you should baptize me. Jesus says, no, this must be done so all things are fulfilled. In other words, He's saying, I submit myself completely to the will of God. I submit myself to every prophecy that ever happened, including my destruction and my death and resurrection. I submit, I surrender, I give dominion of me over to the Holy Spirit. And He was baptized and He was pulled out of the water, and God spoke and said, this is my Son, whom I love, I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit descended on Him like a dove, and that's not floaty-floaty. If you've ever seen a dove go after a piece of bread, it's wham, filled him with the Holy Spirit and drove him and led him out. And from there, everything that Jesus did, calling the disciples, preaching, teaching, healings, miracles, forgiving us on the cross, everything that he did was driven by the Holy Spirit because he gave dominion of himself, of his self, to the Holy Spirit. And that's what we can do. That's what we do. We invite him. And that's where our help comes from. And King David knew this. You know, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. And he knows where his help comes from. Psalm 54, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So how can I, in perfect love and perfect freedom, the freedom that God's given me in Christ Jesus, surrender dominion of my spirit to the Holy Spirit and be an effective and productive disciple of Jesus? Isaiah, who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? He's talking about the Messiah. Who walks in darkness and has no light? You scared person, he's saying. Who walks in darkness and has no light? Have you ever been in a cave without a flashlight? It's scary. That's what he's saying. If you're this person, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Trust and rely upon his God. Trusting and obeying, denying ourselves, taking up our cross every single day, saying, Jesus, guide me. We say, like I say the Shema when I get out of bed, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then I dedicate the day to the Lord, and I say, Lord, this is your day. I give it to you. I give me to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And everything I do today, let it be your will be done. That's surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Do that. And you will find life. You will be effective and productive. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, generosity, self-control will pour out of you. You will bring true light into the world as Jesus moves through you. And then we can, you know, everywhere for new people, if you're visiting especially, you see the GC2 thing everywhere. That's the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey my commandments, which is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. The circle of the fruit of the Spirit that brings heaven on earth. And we shorten the whole Bible down to 6 words: love God, love others, make disciples, and we need his help. So invite the Spirit. Give him dominion of your spirit. It will affect your flesh. You will not be in conflict with the Spirit, and you will bear the fruit of the Spirit, and they will know we are Christians by our love. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that your spirit is perfect. Your will, your intentions, your motives are pure. We want to be driven by you like Jesus is driven by you. And Lord God, in Jesus' name, come into us. We invite you and have lordship over us, over our spirits. We give you dominion so that we can be the children of God in this world who brings light and life and peace and healing and joy and resurrection and plenty to this broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's sing and prepare our hearts.